SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Churchill Downs, Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. A Friday that brings us, I guess officially, I should survey, is this Derby week? I guess maybe tomorrow. Maybe 7 days. What's the official count? When does Derby week start? Sunday? Does Derby Week start? When exactly is that? We should find out. We'll just see if there's a specific when Derby Week really begins. All we know is that we are exactly a week out from Oaks Day, and that has got, I think, everybody ratcheting up the interest level, and certainly today with Todd Pletcher sending out. We saw three of his four Derby runners, and the fourth, Noble Indy, I think was scheduled to work right now, actually, after the next break. So the three that we got to see, and when we're this close, Todd Pletcher has done his most serious work. You would think that Noble Indy probably would be the most of the four, the one that has had the longest time off and audible to a degree, but the 6 furlong work for Noble Indy last week in Florida, the proximity Malibu Moon having run 2 weeks ago at Oaklawn, and then in between Audible, Vino Rosso, who's seemingly on cruise control, and certainly this morning, of the three workers, Vino Rosso went the fastest, and it didn't look like he necessarily was trying to go any faster than his barn mates. Magnum Moon broke off first. Magnum Moon every morning has come out for the training session, and literally, as opposed to a lot of horses that back up to the rail and look at the infield and you know, sometimes they'll say, all right, let's go. Or other times the rider will say, all right, you ready to go? Magnum Moon comes out and he turns and he wants to go. And he not a leisurely tour of the downs for Malibu, for the Malibu Moon Sun. Magnum Moon got right into his work, and they went very slow, early anyway, and then they tried to finish with a flourish, but I didn't see the final times, but it'll be the slowest probably of the three works. And there's not a lot to do ever when it comes to the horses exiting Oaklawn. They're always just put into maintenance mode. And the second work was Audible. Audible went nicely and, of course, has got this reputation of not necessarily being the most passionate of workhorses, but he went fine, he and his workmate. And we always joke, the hardest working racehorse in the game, workmate. He does whatever's asked of him. He's rarely in the spotlight. I suppose life in shambles, right? Life in shambles is the only workmate, the tonalist's workmate. He's the only one that ever seemed to get much attention. There's been a few. Opportunity's a high-profile workmate, but he's got his own career to worry about. But the horses that are invariably in the black workmate saddle cloth, and they come out and they don't mind being a sparring partner. So, Audible with a nice work. Vino Rosso was the fastest, and there was no questioning it. In fact, 47 and change, and Johnny V took him all the way around and on the backside, opposite, right opposite the stand. And clearly, of the three, Vino Rosso, the most energetic. And plenty of other action during the training session. And earlier this morning, Lone Sailor, who, of course, after the 57 and change drill last week, certainly didn't need to do anything. And he went in maintenance mode. Mike Welch sending out that missive from the early training session. And he's in cruise control heading to Derby for Team Benson and Amos. And James Graham, we should mention. James Graham, who's been around these parts a long time. And most notably, or most recognized, I suppose, as a grass rider. And James Graham will be riding his first Derby, and Graham is very capable and well respected, and excited for him to have this kind of opportunity. The other workers, I thought, of particular note, there were some horses that worked solo, most notably the horse that, you know, we've had some affection for, Wonder Godot, and she has gotten better the last 2 days. The first day when we sent out that note about some of the training in the morning, and had mentioned that she was angrily going about her work, and talked to Mark Cassie about it, and Cassie, you know, talked about that she's a handful. She is not, as they say, a merry mare. She's tough, but I'll tell you, the last 2 days, she seems to have settled down quite a bit. And today's work was kind of a controlled focus effort. And I picked her up between the 16th and the 8th pole, and she hugged the rail around the turn, was not as aggressive, was cruising, but didn't have that same hunched shoulders and pinned ear kind of look, you know, that all right, I'm going to do it, but I'm not happy about it. It's way more relaxed, and I'm sure that the Cassie team is very happy. Meanwhile, the male portion, if you're going to bet a Cassie Oaks Derby double, Flame Away, every single morning comes out and does his. He's like a metronome out there, I guess I could use actually Flame Away's excellent daily appearance. Again, I can use that as a way to let you know that instead of pointing to the ExpressBet Kentucky Derby wagering guide coming out after we get off the air, usually it comes out around noon on Friday. A week, it came out yesterday afternoon. I guess all of us that are charged with preparing an entry and coming up with suggested strategies with $100, we must have all gotten them in on time, because Jeremy Plonk and Johnny were able to turn it around and get it out yesterday afternoon. So if you have gone to your ExpressBet account already, we've sent out a couple of Twitter flares, and I will also make the offer again, as I did online last night. If you're in a jurisdiction, if you're in Georgia, if you're in the Carolinas, if you're in any venue, in the American Samoa, and you can't sign up at ExpressBet, we're happy to email you one. And if you can email me, or you can let me know on Twitter, and I've already sent out 7 or 8 for people that, as I termed them yesterday, unfortunates that are in places that they cannot sign up for advanced deposit wagering and for ExpressBet. And I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give away all the specifics of what everybody did. I think it'll be more fun if you get a copy and read through and make your own determination about the strategies that everybody is employing. I think I mentioned already yesterday that Flame Away was on the ticket, on the selections, fourth. He strikes me not just in appearance, but he strikes me as is very similar to Shackelford, and the kind of horse that you know, the mile and a quarter, is it probably just a touch out of his range? Probably, but I was ready to believe that the mile and an eighth was going to be a bit of a out of his range. And the point is, he, like Shackelford, could very well, and in fact, I would think it'd be likely that he's among the leaders when they hit the eighth pole. And like Shackelford, I don't say that he's going to finish fourth and then win the Preakness. I'm sure if Cassie could take that right now, he would, especially after last year's agonizing beat in Baltimore for Classic Empire. But he strikes me as that kind of horse. He's going to hang around and have a chance to be on the chart prominently and get a significant check. I'll tell you the top four. I don't have to couch it. I pick Justify, and I'm unabashed about it. I think in this particular case, for the sake of discussions, yeah, you pick the horse that you think has got the most likely chance to win, regardless of the price scenario. And that's the way I feel about Justify. If he is going to perform at the level we've seen so far, you know, people saying, "Oh, the inexperience." Okay, I mean, something could go wrong, I suppose, out of the break. He could, obviously, listen, if he gets the one, the two hole, that's going to complicate matters. But to me, he's shown already, despite the lack of 2-year-old foundation, that he's the most talented horse coming in, and you can't assume there's going to be trouble. You can say all you want. Oh, if he has trouble, he's inexperienced. Okay, yeah, I suppose that's also true of the horses that have got plenty of experience in this race. If they have trouble, and if they check up, if they get squished at the off the break, come on. But all things, you know, all things being equal, and assuming that it's a nice, clean, you know, just the horses leave the gate with alacrity, he should find himself in an advantageous position based on his running style. And to me, he's the most talented horse. And I can't think about things like, well, there's been 5 straight favorites, so chances are there won't be 6. We've been saying that for I think for the last 3 years, right? After Orb and California Chrome. Well, there's been 2 straight favorites, there can't be a third in a row. Oh, well, there's been 3 in a row, there can't be 4. Well, there's been 4, there can't be 5. No, can't think that way. I picked the Good Magic in the selections. I picked the Good Magic second, and and Bolt Doro third, and they both, in my notation, you know, they're both coming into this third off the layoff. They, when it comes to this pair, this is a place where the pricing weighed on me a little bit, because, and Nick Tamaro is going to join us next, and I'm going to ask Nick this. I want to talk price with Nick, and because he's good with those projections. There's every likelihood that Good Magic and Bolt Doro are not going to be better than the fourth and fifth picks in here, in terms of the public. If that's the case, you're talking 8 and 10 to 1. Somewhere they could be between, who knows, they could be between $15 and $20, $22. And I can't argue with the way they're coming into it. I know some people seem troubled that Bolt Doro hasn't won a race since last fall, crossing the wire first. But That's not bothering me based on having seen. And that's one of the, there you go. The donuts are flowing around here. Having seen, that's another thing I think that weighed on me would justify, and Boldoro, having seen the San Felipe and the Santa Anita Derby. But, you know, good magic. When we're going to talk later, after Nick, we're going to talk with Scully. He and I will do the same thing we did last year, where we broke the field into groups of five. Five horses at a time from front to back, and help you get a mental picture. We hinted toward this the other day, but we're going to do the formal like we did last year. What I did was, as part of the preparation for the Express Bet Derby Wagering Guide, I went through all the materials. I frequently, you know, you do this every time. You go back to your source materials, and one of the things that I came across was the grid that Scully and I put together. So, and then I followed it up after Derby by showing where the horses were at the first call. And the best part of the where the horses were at first call, you go down there and you get the thunder snow and it says paddock. I wrote that he was not where we thought he would be. And there's Scully right there. you got time. Scully just walked in from the backside. They had trouble this morning. In fact, the internet, we had to scurry this morning to even make sure we were connected. They had connectivity issues throughout the facility. And for that reason, for those of you that were looking for the feed, and I'm going to assume they tape things and maybe we'll mount it. I'll find out. We'll find out from Scully when he joins us. Nick Tamaro is going to join us first. And I want to talk, like I said, with the little dollars and cents. Belmont, of course, opens today. Haven't checked on the grass status. And we're actually involved in the fourth. Carlisle Bell. Be fine with me if it comes off. That's fine. Be all right. So we'll find out about that. Dave Grenig, speaking of New York and opening day at Belmont. Dave has had a busy week. Not so much preparing for the opening of Belmont, but... and following Firenze Fire, but also with all the news regarding the renovations, the plans between next year and 2021. So we'll talk to Dave about that, among other things. We will have a visit with Doug Salvatore. Doug is going to join us in the third hour. And Doug, we're going to ask him his win candidates. Who can win? And then, among the exotics, I asked them to give us three overlays and three underlays. The people that are looking at horses that could fill out the exotic. So we'll talk win candidates with Doug, and then exotics to use, exotics to not use. Jay Pribman is here, so we'll talk to Jay. We'll check in with Hammer. Other things, too. Jeff Franklin's going to join us with Thorograph. They've got a cool thing going on. So lots to do. We're live at Churchill. Nick Tamaro joins us first.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, folks. Eddie Olczyk here. In my career, I've experienced all of North America's biggest sporting events. And none of them are quite as fun as the Preakness Stakes. It's a weekend-long party in Baltimore, complete with the best three-year-olds racing for the middle jewel of the Triple Crown. And this year, my friends at ExpressBet are giving one lucky customer the chance to join me and Maryland for the big race. What do you have to do to win? Sign up for their $25,000 Preakness Big Bet Sweepstakes and start betting the races with ExpressBet. The grand prize winner gets tickets to the race, hotel accommodations, airfare, and more. Plus, ExpressBet is giving you $25,000 to bet on the Preakness. That's right, 25 grand. With ExpressBet picking up the tab, you get to play the Preakness Stakes like a high roller. Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and register today. And I hope to see you in the winner's circle.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfertello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Dick on SiriusXM Radio.
When you touch my hand and talk sweet talk, I got a knocking in my knees and a wobble in my walk. I'm trembling and I'm shaking. And when you take me in your arms to talk romance, my heart stops dough and the stink bodies dance. And I'm panting and I'm shaking.
We're back at the races. Little Willie John getting the morning going. And Nick Tamaro joining us. And as Nick does, I got to mention last night, Prairie Meadows. And boy, it, just like we drew it up, that was all right. And always happy when the Old Wellings and Gary Shearer do well. And opening night there in Altoona, Iowa, and Shakopee Town wins the Goldfinch. And unfortunately, we only got 2-1. 6-1 morning line went off as the second choice. A big reason was that the one horse on the rail, that Shanghai Tariff, ended up scratching, and that hurt the price. But still, it was a fast pace, and Shakopee Town was the logical horse to look to pick up the pieces. And in fact, the pace collapsed to such an extent that 107-1 Beckham's Beauty, how about that, ended up fourth. 107-1 and closed from well off of it. And Gorgeous Ginny was the more or less the speed. And I don't know how often it might take until Iowa Derby Day, Nick, before I bet Prairie Meadows again. But I just happened to pull it up yesterday morning and caught my eye. Good morning, Nick Tamaro.
Good morning, Steve. Yeah, I noticed that yesterday was opening day, and I saw that a couple of the leading riders from Oaklawn are heading up. And usually, you get a lot of. When I used to follow Oaklawn really closely, I would definitely follow the first few weeks at Prairie to bet back some of the horses that you wanted to. And there's always a class drop off, obviously, in some of the claiming ranks, which is really no big deal. But yeah, it's an enjoyable place to follow, and if you like dirt racing, nothing wrong with that. It's a good offering in the summer or late spring, early summer at night between Lone Star and Evangeline, Prairie Meadows. Lone Star is actually only Friday nights, but you got a few options, so no doubt about it.
Well, you got some Iowa breads filling out the fields, and I tell you, big fields too, full fields last night. 10-horse Iowa bred allowance, 10-horse, 12-horse Iowa bred maidens. So get tied on Prairie Meadows, and Bob Nastanovich will be thrilled that we're giving Prairie Meadows a lot of attention. It's pretty funny. Meanwhile, Keeneland closes today. And they open here at Churchill tomorrow night. Keeneland with the Bewitch. And I should mention also from Keeneland yesterday, the first winner for Mucho Macho Man and Mucho Amor. And what a finish to the meet. Wesley Ward gets beat in the first two baby races, Nick, and then wins 10 straight.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm redboarding, but I hit a nice pick five on the first Sunday of the meet when his 1-5 shot held on by a nose in the first race, and then he had a 9-5 shot or so wire in the third. So it's actually been, there's usually no way to make money with Wesley Ward winning baby races, right? And I am very, very lucky to have found the one day where you could. But, yeah, he's been on point, no doubt about it. I don't think he liked that discussion of Big John Hancock taking over after last year, and so he wanted to assert himself as the authority, and he certainly did. So, no great surprise.
Well, and I'll also mention that, and we'll talk to Hammer later. But Santa Anita, we touched on things with Tom Quigley yesterday, and then turned our back actually. And the next thing I knew, there's a carryover of almost 50,000 into the Friday card. So Santa Anita and proved tricky yesterday, and be watching a little bit today as the afternoon action, including Belmont kicking off, Nick, and one stake each day. The Affirmed Success today, and the license fee on Sunday, and I think what else we've got? We've got the Elusive Quality on Saturday, but it's nice. What's nice about Belmont is you're going to get a little wider variety of races. I suppose we didn't even get a chance to see much of the Aqueduct turf courses, really.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, what is great about Belmont is that it's not Aqueduct. To be perfectly honest, but the Aqueduct turf courses were used for some parts of the last three weekends of the meet. I think the first turf races were run the day before the Wood Memorial, and just about uninterrupted the rest of the way. It'll be nice to get a variety of distances, as you said, some of the 7-furlong turf races and the different layouts for the mile and a 16th. It always leads to a little bit of variety. One thing they're doing this year, which is going to end up proving to be a good move, in my opinion, is shortening the racing week up until late May, because you still have some of the horse population that's scattered around a bit leading up until the Preakness. And so I think with everybody getting back on board a little bit mid to late May, that will certainly help a great deal, and it'll replenish a horse population that, if you're looking at, you know, Sunday's overnight for this weekend, it's a little bit thin still. So once after Keeneland, after Derby, that'll happen. The first few stakes came up really nice. The Affirmed Success, obviously, is a bunch of the old New York bred warriors that we've grown accustomed to seeing left and right. And Weekend Hideaway will certainly appreciate being back at Belmont more than any other horse in the field. He's done really his best running at Belmont, including winning a couple of New York bred stakes last year, including the Commentator, which, you know, was not expected given that he didn't never really feel like a distance horse. That was actually his second straight Commentator. This is a race that's a little bit more in his wheelhouse from a distance perspective. And you've got a couple of interesting other participants in there. I Love Lulu has run well, clearly, since he moved to the barn of Jason Service. He was a good horse beforehand, though, but he's not just that one-dimensional mudlark that we kind of saw before for Rudy. So excited to see how that pans out. Also worth noting that Caledonia Road is making her 3-year-old debut on Sunday for Ralph Nix. She's in a 2 other than, which drew a field of 5. It's mainly older horses and her. So just a starting point, I would imagine, to get her to a race like the Acorn, and then ultimately to a second-half campaign where she meets a group of 3-year-old fillies that, after the top two of Monomoy Girl and Midnight Bisou, it certainly is a bunch that's waiting on somebody else to stand up. So hopefully horses like a Caledonia Road and ultimately when Separation of Powers gets back, I believe she's slated for a return probably towards Saratoga, that'll replenish the three-year-old filly group quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought Caledonia Road up and part of a race that, and she had been rumored that she was coming back. In fact, Mike Welch and I grabbed a bite to eat yesterday after, and when the Belmont Saturday, and he said, "Did you see that? If Caledonia Road made it in." And I said I hadn't seen it, and then the Sunday came out, and there she was. So great to get the two-year-old filly champ back for Ralph Nix, and we'll watch for that. And I know one person's going to try to beat her, and that's Aaron Yagoda. Aaron's got that nice filly of his, Drew the Rail. I'm just looking for my – I've got all the weekend PPs.
Crimson
here.
Frost.
Crimson Frost. There you go. Crimson
yeah.
Frost.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she's got.
No, very much.
She's okay.
Yeah, it's a good bunch. Yeah, definitely.
Well, Nick,
no, she's. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, there it is. There we go. Crimson Frost, Stay Fond, for Eduardo Jones, Caledonia Road. Special Risk for John Toscano and Drawing Away, and Total Control, Brian Lynch, uphill. So it's she's running into some hard hitters.
Yeah, no doubt. Caledonia Crimson Frost is a solid horse. It should be a good starting point.
Well, we're starting to get serious, Nick, about next week. And since we talked last week, any added notes? Have you glanced at PP some more and watched and taken in any coverage, Derby?
Yeah, it's been a little bit here and there. Certainly thinking over some of the potential scenarios, and you know, I was having a conversation with Travis the other night about pace and whatnot. Obviously, he's looking at it from a race caller's perspective, but usually, I'm looking at it from a betting perspective, and so we kind of, you know, it's one of those situations. And you and I had this conversation before the Breeders' Cup when we kind of previewed all of the pace scenarios, and you get a bulky field, and I think the inclination on the part of a lot of people is to say, well, you know, there's not that much front end speed. And so, you know, horses like Trinneberg and this year Promises Fulfilled, and maybe to a lesser extent Flame Away, those one way speed types, well, fields of whether it's 12, 14, 16, 20, they're not always going to be loaded with those types at a mile and a quarter, right? But what makes a pace fast is when one horse either goes on a suicide mission a la Palace Malice, or you just have that pressure-packed situation, a little bit like last year, where one horse is sent, like State of Honor was, and then a handful of horses are chasing. And so they're really cooking up how much is going on up there. And I think that this year is going to have, I think it's going to be a little bit of the latter. I think while, you know, Promises Fulfilled is probably the only horse that really is truly one-way speed, with no other course of action, I think that you're going to have a lot of horses that are pressing the issue, and that's going to force this pace along quite a bit as well. So I think it's going to be, I think whatever word you want to use, honest, solid, legitimate, you know, I think it's impossible to predict beforehand that a Derby pace is going to be super fast, but I think it's pretty safe to say that this should be an honest one, in my opinion. Now the question becomes, how do you feel about Justify being in a scenario for him that's totally foreign? He's a horse that has, you know, a little bit of seasoning for arguably the greatest dirt trainer of all time. And will he be able to handle all of those obstacles one by one? And if you answer that with an affirmative, do you want 3-1 for that proposition? So, you know, I think in formulating a wagering strategy of some sort, what you're trying to figure out is, am I going to kind of yield the first two spots to Justify and find interesting horses that I can play underneath him, maybe banking on a certain kind of pace scenario, or if there's something going on with the racetrack itself, maybe you could take advantage that way. Or are you going to say, the hell with it, I'm not in the mindset of taking 3-1, 7-2 on a horse that's still lacks a great deal of seasoning and has all of the issues that I just alluded to. So that's the fascinating thing about the Derby, in that you have this, it presents incredible value at times, and you have to sift through these conversations. I feel like myself and everybody I'm talking to whose opinion I value is looking forward to betting Bolt Oro. And that either means that where he's maybe one of three things. We're being overly clever, he's the wise guy horse, or we're all on to something. And so, well, I think it could probably could end up being a little bit of all three. So,
well, and
he right now is the horse you want at the price he's going to be.
Well, and I talked about that to open the show based on my entry in the Express Bet Derby wagering guide. And I did pick Justify on the premise that I am not going to steer people away from a horse that appears to be clearly the most talented in the group, and that, assuming he breaks just evenly and decently, that, you know, he's going to be in a position where he can take advantage, whether it's right on the pace or right off the pace, just near it, whatever position. He's going to get, the assumption is, if he gets his opportunity and he is, and the premise is right that he's the most talented, I don't see why he can't win. And I do not suggest that people just willy-nilly, pell-mell, say, well, he's 3-1, 7-2, and I'm not betting him because I can't do that. You bet who is, you know, the horse that under most scenarios you think can win. And that gets us to Good Magic and Bolt Oro, who I picked second and third, Nick. And I also evenly bet them on top and below Justify. I cannot remember a circumstance where two leading juveniles, the two horses, one or other, that could have been the juvenile champion, that have really not done anything condemnable so far this year, would go to the Derby and be the fourth and fifth choices. But they're going to be. And they're going to be, what, 8 to 11 to 1?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree. You're going to get a very, very solid amount of value on both. And I think we wait all winter to an extent to see these horses come back. And then, of course, we wait to pick apart everything that they do. Right, and so I kind of joked about this last week with people telling me that it was a concern that Bolt Oro hadn't crossed the wire first yet. And Good Magic's Bluegrass has been heavily criticized, as most preps have. And I think that people are going a little overboard in trying to find negatives on that particular effort, where I thought, all things considered, he ran very well. I thought it was a racetrack where you wanted to be towards the inside paths, and he was outside the entire way. I think, given that it was a second off the layoff opportunity, he is still yet to really peak as a three-year-old, and he has a two-year-old effort that, with modest improvement off of that, based on any numerical speed figure, he's going to be a contender, right? I mean, that's something that you can't really deny, and so if you want to project what type of improvement he could show for a trainer whose horses have always gotten better deeper into their form cycle. I mean, look at the examples over the years. Yes, they've mainly been turf horses, but take a horse like Wavell Avenue, who everybody had written off early in 2015, and then she ends up winning the Breeders' Cup Filly in Mare Sprint. So I think we can all agree that Chad Brown's horses get better with training and with time as the year goes by. So I'm expecting, and maybe Good Magic's best performance ultimately will come later in the year, but I think it's still a very reasonable approach to assume that he's going to make a jump forward in this race. And what knocks you have on him, probably when push comes to shove, for most people are just kind of a little bit superficial.
A couple other before we go, Nick, and I know you've got a meeting to get to, but the other prices, particularly of the major contenders, not so much I'm not thinking about the horses that we're going to be talking about next week as exotic contenders, but among the major win candidates, where do you think everybody shakes out?
Price-wise?
Yes.
Yeah, this is, I'm figuring, so if I was making the morning line, I would go Justify 3, Mendelsohn 6, I'd have Magnum Moon, Good Magic around 8, And then at 10 and 12, I'd have Audible, Vino Rosso, and that's probably about it. There could be somebody I'm forgetting, just doing this off the top of my head. But that would, those would definitely be the principles. And then I think everybody would sort of move up odds-wise from there, you know, getting to the 20s, 30s, et cetera, et cetera. But, and there's clearly, there are going to be some horses at 20 and 30 that do garner some interest. You know, I mean, I know you and Andy were discussing the other day how if Vino Rosso is 10 or 12 and Enticed is 30, then you're much more inclined to bet Enticed, right? I mean, he ran a, you know, he ran a very credible race in the Wood Memorial. Maybe he's a horse that doesn't really want to go a mile and a quarter, but let's not forget a three-wide battle of Midway held on for third in last year's Derby. So it's a hungry group of horses at the eighth pole, because when push comes to shove, probably 17 of them don't really want to go a mile and a quarter. It's just a matter of who's going to get there quick enough as they all try it. So I think you want to, you know, you want to look for value in those kind of scenarios. But I'm going to be surprised if Justify is less than 3-1. The example I keep using for people is that American Pharoah went off 2.9-1. And there might be hype on Justify. It is a fraction of what it was on American Pharoah. So I'll be very surprised if he dips below 3, especially with a number of viable alternatives headed by Mendelsohn, who still, from a wagering perspective, is this great unknown. You know, I could see him getting an insane amount of support and going off 9-2. And I could see people saying, what the hell am I doing betting a horse that beat a bunch of bums in Dubai on a gold rail, 106 buyer speed figure or not? Why would I take less than 8-1 on him? So I think he'll fall kind of somewhere in between those two.
Well, we'll talk, obviously, you and Jonathan. We'll do our roundtable, usually with Travis. I saw Travis this morning upstairs in the clocker stand. And looking forward, Nick, to getting you here. And I appreciate it, as always. And good luck, everybody, for Belmont season. We'll talk to Dave Grenig in a little bit after James Scully joins us. James is going to do the breakdown on pace as well. Last year we broke out those quadrants, the field. We're going to do that again here. And Nick, I will see you next week.
Sounds great, Steve. Looking forward to it. Have a good weekend.
Nick Tamaro, everybody. Nick has got a conference call coming up in 3 minutes. We've got a break for 2.5 minutes, and then we'll come back. Scully sitting in front, and we're going to talk to James about some of the morning activities, but more importantly, our specific objective is to do what we did last year, which really I got a great reaction to, and we'll try to make you help you understand where the horses. I alluded to it on Monday when we talked about the Brisnet pace ratings and using those, you know, the E, the EP, etc. But we're going to just use specific horse names, and rather than, you know, for those of you that aren't going to see the, for instance, the Brisnet past performances. Let's take a time out. We're at Churchill Downs. Dave Grenig is going to join us in a little bit, and then Dave will join us in Louisville tomorrow. Looking forward to getting Grenig here. And we're going to talk a little bit about what went on this week with the community presentations and the Belmont renovation project, and where things stand, where things are headed. We also are going to visit with Doug Salvatore later, and Jay Pribman, and Hammer. Who else? I got other people. There's other people. Mike Welch. Back after this at the races at the Downs.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. We've extended our special introductory price through to May 1st, so log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The Brisnet.com performance plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month, and is available at brisnet.com/pp. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year, and is available at brisnet.com/APR. The brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why brisnet.com is the handicapper's edge.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vaughn, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Back at Churchill Downs, about 15 to the top of the hour. James Scully joining us from BrisNet, brought to you by Twin Spires. And when they pass under the Twin Spires for the first time, the stretch into the first turn, James, we want to get a handle on who's going to be where. And last year, I've got it in front of me, last year we thought that Always Dreaming, Fast and Accurate, State of Honor, Irish War Cry, and IRAP would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They were State of Honor first, Always Dreaming second, Irish War Cry fourth, Fast and Accurate fifth, IRAP sixth. So we got pretty much everything. It really did lay out beautifully. Battle of Midway, who we had near the lead. We had on, near, stalk, and off. And we had Battle of Midway near. He was closer. Classic Empire was further back than we expected. But my favorite, as I said earlier, we had Thunder Snow as near the lead. And then when I recapped it, I said he ended up in the paddock. So he was not where we thought he'd be.
Yes, he wasn't. He was bucking around out there.
Unbelievable. Otherwise, and then you look at off the pace. We had McCracken, Hens, Sonneteer, looking at Lee, Gunavera. McCracken was 12th, Gunavera was 14th, looking at least 17th, hence 18th, Sonneteer 19th. And, of course, there was no 20th because there was Thunder Snow. It would have been the 20th. So we lost one horse out of there. But this is an important you can – Nick just addressed minutes ago the potential for this to be, at the very least, an honest pace, not necessarily a breakneck pace, but that it – the concept that it would be a slow pace, it just doesn't really materialize because there's too many horses prompting each other to find position down the stretch. However, if we start to do this exercise and we discover, you know, that there's more horses in the more than 10 in the second half that want to stalk and be off the pace, well, then that tells you something right there. I mean, there's going to be horses whose decision is going to be partially made by the draw.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Justify's a perfect example of where he is. If he's in an inside post, I expect him to be more forwardly placed. I mean,
exactly.
He doesn't have to be on the lead, but he's got such a long stride. He's so big at such a long stride. He doesn't want to be behind horses inside.
Exactly. And I've actually asked that of Baffert right after that Monday after the Santa Anita Derby. And he said, I'm not going to worry about that yet. I think he wanted just to savor what had happened with the horse in his third lifetime start. Let's take a look. And I'll start to write them down, and then I'll put it out there for everybody. The obvious answer here up on the front end is promises fulfilled. I mean, everybody is assuming that whether you want to call it a suicide mission or just a one-way horse, that he is, unless something unusual happens at the draw, he is going to be your leader.
Yeah, his only chance is wire to wire. I mean, he has the proverbial slugger's chance, where if he could get out there and get clear like he was in the Fountain of Youth, that'd be the only way he could win it. And he's never been behind at the first or second call in any of his five starts. So that's just a given. I mean, whether he's first or second, he's going to be going hard.
Who can we expect? And there's a handful of candidates. And actually, mm-hmm. I surprisingly have heard a few names of late, the last couple of days. Nick just now, mentioning Flame Away, for instance, that mm-hmm. might want to be right up on. Or do we think that Justify is going to use, I mean, assuming the draw is okay for him from six or from five out, mm-hmm. that he would, that he's going to want to be within striking distance? I mean, who do you expect to be second, third, fourth out of that?
I expect Justify to be second. I mean, I definitely think he's going to go. He could be first if he's inside, but I definitely expect him to go. The one horse that's I've mentioned this on the Morning Work shows, a real X factor in my mind is Noble Indy. Now, I know Windstar owns part of him and owns part of Justify, but they also have Audible, and Audible's in Todd Pletcher's barn, and I know he's got Magnum Moon and Vino Rosso as well. And to me, if he wasn't going to the lead like he did in Twin Spires Louisiana Derby, they'd take the blinkers off. I mean, he was first time blinkers last time. He's coming back with those blinkers, and I think he's going to send him. I think that's going to be the instructions to Florent, is to send him, because he's going to benefit Todd's other three runners if he's up there pushing the pace theoretically. So I just think I don't think there's any settling with Noble Indy. I'll agree with Flame Away. I mean, he needs to be in position in the early stages, and being sixth or seventh, that's just not going to work. I think he's got the natural quickness as well to set up shop up there. And then you really get Mendelsohn. I mean, Mendelsohn won't be going wire to wire like he did in the UAE Derby, but I do think he showed a real high, cruising speed in that race. I think, Ryan Moore will ask for a little run from the gate, get a favorable position in the top five, and then just go to, getting into natural rhythm.
So we'll use as the quadrant promises fulfilled, Justify, Noble Indy, Flame Away, Mendelsohn as our on the lead pack.
Right.
All right. Very good. Let's go to Near, who wants to be near the lead, and that group. Last year we expected basically Classic Empire, Battle of Midway, Thundersnow, Gormley, and Untrapped. And by the way, the mention of Untrapped, yesterday at OBS, another solid day, little bit under
same session from a year ago, but a lot of the same healthy trade at OBS. And next week, probably on Monday, we'll have to do a quick recap of the sale. But wraps up today. Gary Young made his first appearance here upstairs. And, in fact, on the videos, you can hear Gary a little bit in the background of the videos I posted this morning of the three Pletcher workers during the session. And, James, while we're on that topic, the entire system, the entire network at Churchill had an outage. So the show was not able to be
shown live or streamed.
Live.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming you taped it.
We
and
taped it.
It'll be posted later.
It'll be posted later for sure.
Excellent.
Yes. And, yeah, I mean, that's if the internet went down, there were, that was the cause of the no live stream. But, you know, they say they got it fixed. It won't happen again tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a big day with a lot of works. I'll mention real quick, Todd Pletcher's three horses were out there.
Yep.
You know, in my mind, I liked Audible the best. I just thought I liked his Gallabout better. I mean, I thought I was watching all of them on the backside. It looked like to me he was still going strong, you know, when he got up, you know, near the track kitchen. It looked like to me, you know, Magnum Moon was done by Midway on the backstretch. Mm-hmm. Vino Rosso was at a walk as well, you know, a little bit.
He had gone faster early. He had gone 47 and change.
Right.
And when he was opposite the stand, Johnny kind of eased off of him.
Mm-hmm.
But Audible kind of went the same nice pace all
right.
the way around.
He was a little bit more relaxed as well, just yeah. in the work itself. You know, he was working with National Flag, coming off a romping win in the
yep.
Bay Shore, real nice horse. Vino Rosso was with Outplay, another, you know, accomplished runner. And Magnum Moon was with Marad, who's a turf stakes winner. Nice horse, I guess, going to run in the American turf. But Magnum Moon and Vino Rosso definitely worked faster. You know, their works were just a little bit faster than Audible's, and I just thought Audible was more, you know, looked like he liked the track, looked like he got over it really well. Getting back to the quadrants, I mean, we've got to start with this early presser quadrant with Magnum Moon. You know, he's employed front-running tactics, expect him to be a little bit further back in this race. Still a chance he could be fifth, you know, instead of like sixth or seventh where we've got him slotted. But, yeah, you got to put him in that quadrant. Good Magic, he's not going to be in the back 10 of the field, I don't think. I think he's going to look to set up shop behind the leaders as well. Then you get to a horse like Enticed to me, Steve, and I just think, heck, in this 20-horse field, I saw it last year in the Kentucky Jockey Club. He did the same thing in the Wood Memorial. I thought he got a little bit softened up actually chasing that speed in that Wood Memorial, so I'd expect him to be in the 6th through 10th group. I'll also throw in Solomini. He's a little bit of a question mark. He could be in that next quadrant. He and like a horse like Vino Rosso, I'm not quite sure where to put him, but I'm going to put Solomini in that EP, in that second tier group. And I'll also throw in Bravazo. You know, he front-running winner, the Risen Star, doesn't have the speed to be on the lead, but he doesn't want to be too far back.
And I'll put, you know what I'll do for the sake of stacking, Magnum Moon as six, Good Magic seven, Enticed eight. Bravazo I'll put ninth because Solomini, I agree. And Solomini is a horse that's going to go around 24-3, 24-2, 24-3, 24-4, and just run even fractions. And so he's where he ends up early is strictly a function of who goes fast and who gets taken back.
Right.
I mean, he could be maybe 7th, 8th, 9th, but he could also be 12th, 13th, 14th,
yeah.
depending on what's happening all around.
And I see, like, even Vino Rosso a little bit in the same light. They're grinders, Steve. They don't want to be too far back. They just want to just be in position to, you know, slowly make their move to the lead, you know, if they're good enough.
So start Vino Rosso off as the front half of the second half of the field.
Right, yes. Vino Rosso will start right there with him. From that point, you know, we're looking a little bit at, I think, Instilled Regard. You know, I don't know exactly.
Yeah, I actually had him maybe even into the near the lead,
right.
Seventh, eighth, ninth, in that vicinity.
Right.
He's a horse that's a function of draw.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be mid-pack somewhere, whether he's in that second or third, we're not positive. But another horse as well. I got to put the two big ones here, Audible
yep.
and Bolt Doro. both in this quadrant. Neither one of them is a confirmed late runner. I do think the Derby's going to set up a lot better for Bolt Oro than both his preps, which were short fields without any real confirmed speed. And I'll add Friends Fire. You know, Friends Fire could have been in that last group, that sustained runner. But we'll throw him in there. He and Hoffberg were a little bit steep. I didn't know exactly where to slot him, so I'll go Friends Fire, Hoffberg. But you could have switched him around in my mind.
Take into consideration when you try to figure out the trip that Instilled Regard is going to get. Remember, of course, the Daring Do and remarkable effort Joel Rosario turned in on Practical Joke, somehow getting him to the rail. I mean, when they went by. Mm-hmm. And I was watching from the infield. I said, wait a minute. How did Practical Joke get there from where he was? He was in 18?
Yeah. And he missed all that. You know, Irish War Cry came in at the start and, you know, basically hurt McCracken and Classic Empire. They were both, like, crushed from both sides in a traffic melee that really – you know, I thought Irish War Cry instigated cutting in. I mean, that's a little bit arguable how that all happened. But the fact is, there was a big crush of horses shortly after the starting gate, and Practical Joke and Joel Rosario missed it all. And like you said, got the perfect trip. They looked like they were going to be fourth. Classic Empire nailed him right on the wire for fourth, and he was fifth.
Well, and I bring up Rosario because he's got the call on Instilled Regard, and so part of the equation, if you're trying to figure out where he ends up out of the gate, recognize that he's got a guy that has already shown, and you know, year in, year out, turf and dirt can work out trips. That leaves us with the closers and the deep closers, and we certainly. You know, we certainly knew Free Drop Billy was going to be in this group, and right. Hoffberg by default. I mean, is Hoffberg more 16th than 20th?
I think so. I do. You know, one thing about that work we saw with him, it looks like he doesn't want to be inside horses. You know, I'm not saying that with confidence, but after watching that work, and you know, I mean, Bill Mott was talking about that filly as well. I heard some interview with him where he was like, "Oh, I'm here to talk about the filly," but. I just expect him to take back, make one run, and make one outside run.
Well, leaves us with Free Drop Billy, My Boy Jack, and
Combatant, and Lone Sailor.
And Lone Sailor. Who is 20th, actually?
I mean, it's either going to be My Boy Jack or Lone Sailor, I think. I mean, it's either or. I wouldn't be surprised to see My Boy Jack. And Kent, he knows, you know, he's got 3-time Kentucky Derby winner. I don't think he's... too worried about his positioning in the early stages. I think he was actually next to last in the Lexington when he rallied from last to first in that race. So, yeah, I mean, you can count on him just biding his time. And you know, you look at these deep closers, a horse like My Boy Jack, he doesn't really want an outside post. I mean, he's going to be running diagonally if he is. He doesn't have any worry about traffic or whatever in the early stages if he's breaking from one of the inside 10 posts, and that'll be ideal, I think, for a ground-saving trip.
Well, let's run them down for those of you that have been keeping taking notes, and we can adjust it when we talk next week and after Tuesday when we've got a draw. We'll have a better feel, but just on running style and on previous experience and riding assignments, speaking of which, we've got only Bravazo still unnamed, correct?
That's right.
We're still waiting for Lucas to make a call.
Yeah, I mean, Florent Giroux's riding Noble India.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was the only one left. And, you know, I saw an interview with Dwayne, and he said, with the coach, and he said, if it was up to him, it basically insinuated it would be Gary Stevens,
yes.
But he has to talk to Brad Kelly, owner Calumet, and make sure he's on board with that.
Exactly. The group here, one more time. Promises fulfilled, justified. Noble Indy, Flame Away, Mendelssohn is the way we think. 1 through 5, past the stands for the first time. Promises fulfilled, justified. Noble Indy, Flame Away, Mendelssohn. We look to the near the lead group. Magnum Moon, Good Magic, Enticed, Bravazo, and Solimini. And then the Stalkers, mid-pack, going to settle and pick spots and move when appropriate. Vino Rosso, Johnny. Instilled Regard, Audible, Bolt Oro, Firenze Fire. Vino Rosso, Instilled Regard, Audible, Bolt Oro, Firenze Fire. And then you're off the pace, you're one-run closers, deep closers, Hoffberg, free drop Billy, combatant, lone sailor, my boy Jack. Hoffberg, free drop Billy, FDB, as we've been, we got FDB and MBJ when it comes to my boy Jack, but FDB, free drop Billy, combatant, lone sailor, and my boy Jack. And I'll fold in, you know, from the wagering guide, I use one set of numbers every year, James, and I'm just looking for, I printed out a copy, and as always, I've got way too much stuff to dig through. But what I remind everybody, even though the racetrack speeds can vary and widely vary, the Derby charts have a uniformity to them that are invariable. And if they go six furlongs in under 110, then your closers are coming. If they go 110 to 111, that's an honest middle of the road square pace, and horses, whoever's good enough, really, a closer is going to have to be, you know, particularly strong. The one pace type horses can do very well, and the mid pack and up close stalkers can do well. And then from 111 and above for three quarters, the horses in the first quadrant are going to excel, and it's going to be very difficult under that scenario. A trifecta probably comes from the first six horses that you can conceive around the turn, and then one horse will invade to be
right.
Second, third, or fourth, the closer who ran the best will get up for a piece. But if they go in 111 or better, your horses on the front end that group that we identified, they've got the best chance from the eighth pole home to hold off anybody and hold them safe.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've seen that with the slow pace you're talking about in 2015, where we had Dorbman, Firing Line, and America Pharoah are all, it was a moderate pace that year. They were all up there. The next year, you know, Nyquist, he wasn't running from off the pace, but Exaggerator, that was a pretty hot pace set by Danzy Candy that year. And Exaggerator came flying from last or next to last to be second. So, that's always the way, you know, that's, and I think we're going to be a little bit on the fast side this year. So, wouldn't be surprised to see some, prices in underneath.
Well, we will, reevaluate this once we've got the field of 20, and we'll be together over in the building, in the main building, on Tuesday. I'll broadcast from there all morning, and then at about 11, I guess about 11:15 maybe.
Yeah, they're going to have a little pre-show.
We'll jump in, and we'll do the show, and then afterward we're doing a thing with Donna Brothers and Gary and you and Ed.
No, I'm doing the Churchill Downs simulcast show. Ed and Joe are doing the with Gary Young,
and I'm involved.
And you're involved, yeah. In the Aristides. Yeah, it's going to be at the side of the stage, and then there's going to be commentary up top. So, I'm not sure of the format because I won't be involved in that.
All right, so you got your own thing to work. I forgot that there's racing on Tuesday.
Yeah. Second
forgot
day
all
of the
about
meet.
That.
Yeah, we get started Saturday night, then we come back Tuesday, and we race Tuesday through Derby Day.
You got anything for tomorrow for opening night?
No, I'm looking at it right now. I'm working on it this morning.
All right. And what should people be watching for? We know we had the little hiccup when it came to the video today, but it'll be available later, and we'll tweet it out to everybody, and it'll be available at KentuckyDerby.com as well.
Facebook page, Twitter page for Kentucky Derby, and you can go to KentuckyDerby.com/work. So multiple ways to access that stream. Going to be a busy day tomorrow with a bunch of workers, 7 to 8 a.m., Kentucky Derby Work Show.
Tune in and take in Eddie and James and Joe Kristofek and any wandering guests that you can hook in. We'll take a break right here, a little past the top of the hour. And follow James, by the way, James_Scully111. And we'll follow James with Dave Grenning of the Daily Racing Forum. He's still in New York. He'll be here tomorrow, but we'll check in with Dave Grenning and talk about what went on Long Island in Elmont this week when it comes to the pending new Belmont Park It's not going to be entirely new. It's going to be the same building. They're not going to tear. They had played with that about tearing the building down and starting from scratch. But as Mike Dubb said to us last summer when this came up, and Michael's a builder, and he said no. He said I would gut it and I would utilize the existing frame and build the infrastructure into the existing frame. So that appears to be where things are headed, as well as the shopping center across the street, across Hempstead. You can go through the tunnel, hockey arena, hotel. It's going to be unbelievable.
They need to make Hempstead bigger. Add a couple lanes to that.
Oh, Jesus. It might be too late for that. Don't encroach on the backyard anymore. I mean, there's people already carrying on because the hotel's going to take a little chunk out of the backyard. Dave Gredig joins us next. We're live at Churchill Downs. Stay with us.
The latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
While being on the cutting edge of scientific and nutritional research, Biomedical Research Labs has developed the number one selling equine blood builder in the world, the most advanced muscle builder and tie-up preventer, and now the best anti-bleeding paste ever made. To find out how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Guard can help your equine athletes, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
NairaBets is your online home for horse racing and betting. With NairaBets, you can play hundreds of tracks from anywhere, at any time, using your computer or mobile device. Players earn points on bets and build their bankroll with exclusive promotions. NairaBets is available across the United States. Visit NairaBets.com for details and make sure to enter promo code BIC100 during registration to qualify for the $100 sign-up bonus. That's NairaBets.com, promo code BIC100. NairaBets, racing's best play.